The Wednesday Bookmark on Family Radio CHRI. Each week, we introduce you to something new, something that'll make you think, something that might change your life. Here's this week's author interview on the Wednesday Bookmark on Family Radio CHRI.
Joining us this week for the Wednesday Bookmark is Sam Collier. Sam is a pastor, speaker, writer, and host of the A Greater Story with Sam Collier TV show and radio podcast. He's also a speaker and host at Andy Stanley's North Point Ministries. Sam lives with his wife, Tony, and their children in Atlanta, Georgia. We're going to talk about Sam's book. It's called A Greater Story, My Rescue, Your Purpose, and Our Place in God's Plan. So appreciate your time this morning, Sam.
Brock, it is such an honor to be with you. I love what you guys do and what you're doing for Canada, honestly.
Let's start by talking about your childhood, Sam. You were raised by adoptive parents, Belinda and Lamar, in the birthplace of the civil rights movement. What was life like for Sam growing up?
Wow, man. So much, man. You know, my dad, again, he raised us on historic Auburn, right across the street from the Martin Luther King Jr. Center, with the above tombs of Coretta and MLK sit. And, you know, we were adopted when we were 2 months and raised. And my dad would bring homeless people out to the house all of the time to kind of cut the grass and all of that. We didn't know why. But, you know, on Auburn, if you ever get a chance to come, there's homeless people everywhere. And so he would bring them home, and he would make us get them water while they were cutting grass. And we didn't realize until later he was teaching us character. But that was just an amazing example of what our dad showed us.
Young Sam played a lot of basketball. You talk about this in the book. But your attention ultimately turned more so to music. Enter a stage left, a guy by the name of Freddie Hendricks. Tell us about Freddie and what he did for you.
Oh, man. Freddie Hendricks was one of the best creative directors in the world. He had the largest youth theater company, ranging from age like 13 up to about 30, because of the subject matter that we often talked about. He would not do a show unless it was about an issue that the world was facing. One show was about the AIDS pandemic. Another show was about South African apartheid. Another show about teen pregnancy, so on and so forth. And he just refused to accept anything less than excellence. Greatness was something he often spoke a lot about, that greatness was on the inside of all of us. And if he saw any one of us not running after greatness, he would pull us to the side, pick up a chair, throw it across the room, and look, you know, get in our face. I mean, it was wild. Get in our face and say, hey, you are great. I want you to believe it. Mm. And I want you, when you're on stage, I want it to come out of you, and I want you to be this way in life. So radically transform me.
Your big dream for many years from a musical point of view was to become a Christian usher, is how you refer to it in the book. You had like an R&B vibe. And you did wind up showcasing in front of several big-time record labels, and you describe these experiences in the book. Pull that curtain back for us. What is that like?
Yeah, Christian usher was my goal. Obviously, I didn't become him. but God had another plan. But honestly, in music, I spent a significant amount of time in Toronto, to be honest, because Universal Canada was there, Vivendi was there as well. And I believe that it served as kind of the hub for Universal worldwide. So Universal, obviously China, Universal Africa, Universal here in the States. And if you were an artist, you wanted to go and showcase in Toronto for Universal Canada for the president, because it was kind of looked at as the hub for the world. And so it took you a lot to get those meetings. It took you a lot to break down kind of the doors. And so that's what we did when we spent our time flying back and forth between there in New York and L.A. And after getting to the highest level, and it not being about you or the music or about your talent, but just, you know, wrong time, right? Timing's off. Artists just like you, so on and so forth. You know, that begins to weigh on you after a while. And it weighed on me. And I really just began to ask the question, okay, God, it's not me. It's not the music. People love it, but it just doesn't seem to be working out. What are you doing here? And I realized he was asking me to trade in my dream for his dream for me. And that's a large part of the book that we've been talking about, the idea of a greater story being his purpose for us. But in order for us to get it, we have to surrender, even sometimes our own dreams, for his.
Hmm. I want to circle back to that in a second, actually, because you have a great chapter on purpose that I just loved. But I also want to talk about your time as choir director at Ebenezer Baptist Church, because it was there that you first met and worked with some of Dr. Martin Luther King's family, which is so interesting. Tell us that story, how all that came about.
Yeah, you know, where I'm at now and what I've ended up doing, it's definitely God's greater story for me. And I often say, obviously, on the other side of surrender is greatness, is purpose, and so on and so forth. And so after he asked me for my musical dream, he started guiding me. And I said to him, whatever you want me to do now, I'll do. If you want me to work at McDonald's and you're with me, I'll do that. If you want me to be a chef or whatever you want me to do. And so the next job I get offered, I'm going to assume it's you. And it was the youth choir director job at Ebenezer. And I said, man, I hate choirs. Why would you make me do this, right? I would show up for rehearsal, and in the rehearsal, there was one girl for 4 weeks. It was just one girl in the choir. One girl and her mother who sat in the back of the room. I trained that one girl like it was 30. We built a special relationship. And out of that rehearsal, after the 4 weeks, her mother said, listen, I'm tired of this. I'm telling the pastor he needs to make an announcement. And so she made the pastor make an announcement. That next week, that fifth week, we had about 30 people in the choir. But me and the young lady and her mother had bonded because it was just us for 4 weeks. The youth pastor saw me talking to her and said, do you know who that is? And I said, no. And he said, that is the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his great niece. And I said, what? And so for 4 weeks, I had been training Martin Luther King's family, but that would serve as the catalyst for me to do ministry on another level. And so I always say, you never know what God is doing and how he's using any area of your life. So treat people right and be everything he wants you to be in every situation.
My favorite chapter is number 9, God Dream, where you lay out, and you were touching on this a moment ago, your insights on purpose in some theological detail. Say a few more words about that. Like, what have you learned about purpose in your life?
Yeah, for a long time, I was upset with the church, specifically the American church, and not every church, but kind of the Big C church. And I was upset because I would go to conferences, I would go to churches, and maybe the Canadian church is similar, and I would hear these huge messages about dreams and about calling and about the idea that God wants to do something great with your life. And I would try, and I would always fail. And I would go, now, God, well, you know, you're giving me all of these visions, and the church is saying this, and the pastor's preaching, I'm identifying with it. Now I want to go change the world, but I'm broke, and I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's happening? And I remember being so depressed that I was, kind of just in my room and going, God, either help me figure out how this whole life thing works or just take me out of here. You know, just bring me home, because I guess I'm not getting it right. And that's when he started leading me down the path of understanding what the Bible calls the mysteries of the kingdom. In other words, it's what's in between the lines that matters. And, you know, one of the reasons why it's so important to read the scriptures in detail and to connect Old Testament, New Testament, and to see how Jesus flowed in one area and then how Paul flowed is so that you can compare and contrast. And it is in the comparison and in the contrast that you actually find what God is trying to communicate on a subject. So if you just look only at what Jesus says, but you don't see how Paul comments on it, you may miss something. Or if you just read what Paul says about them, but you don't see the foundation of what Jesus was saying, you may miss something. And one of those things that I missed was often purpose, and it was the connecting of the dots. And so out of this kind of journey, we discovered a three-pronged kind of strategy that helps you to discover purpose and, or more so, surrender to it. And it is when passion meets provision, and then that meets gifting. Hmm. And if you can get all three of those to combine, then you discover purpose.
This book begins and closes with you on stage at Steve Harvey's television show, meeting your birth mother with your sister, and we won't even have time to get into that, but that's also very interesting, that whole experience and everything you took from that. We'll have to leave it there, but I'll use that as a tease. I hope people will pick up a copy of the book and read it. There's so much more in the book. It was a really interesting read. Again, the book we've been talking about is A Greater Story, My Rescue, Your Purpose, and Our Place in God's Plan. Sam Collier, our guest this week for the Wednesday Bookmark. Really appreciate your time this morning, Sam. Thank you so much.
Man, thank you so much. Go and get it. Thanks, man.
The Wednesday Bookmark on Family Radio CHRI. To find out more about this week's bookmark or hear the author interview again or to discover previous books highlighted on the Wednesday Bookmark, go to chri.ca.